2016 was in some ways a dark year in the music world. We lost legends like Prince, David Bowie, Leonard Cohen, Sharon Jones, Merle Haggard, and Beatles producer Sir George Martin, just to name a few. But while 2016 may be remembered for these losses, there was still a lot of good music that did come out this year.
Stephen Thompson is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music and a panelist on Pop Culture Happy Hour and All Songs Considered. He joins us on Central Times a few times a year to share what he's been listening to. And today we asked him to zero in on his favorite albums from the past year, and he's been writing about that at NPR. Stephen, welcome back.
That's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Stephen, you said that 2016 to you was the year of great albums that embodied a sense of mystery. What did you hear?
Yeah, I just noticed the way that a lot of the best and most critically acclaimed albums of the year weren't just like bundles of MP3s. They weren't just collections of, you know, like, here are my 10 potential singles. They had an air of something more to them. You know, so you talk about like the Beyoncé record Lemonade that so many people love, including myself, and it came packaged with this long-form video that was very, very provocative and had a lot of people talking about the songs even before the record had come out. A record like this, a Frank Ocean record, Blonde, that came out in several different forms, that rolled out over the course of several days. Even something like the David Bowie record, it's obviously not a marketing ploy, but that record came out and David Bowie died 2 days later. And you start to then, in hindsight, get a sense that this record was made with mortality looming over it. And so many of the records that we're going to talk about today and that were the best records of this year were albums that had that air of a lot of thought being put into them as a whole.
And Stephen, before we get to the albums, I want to revisit a question we've asked you before. You know, we can buy songs one at a time really easy online now. They're hit singles, a lot of them. The album, though, it sounds like you're saying, is still surviving and doing just fine as an art form.
Yeah, I think if anything, the album is expanding as a format. Kanye West put out an album this year called The Life of Pablo that was basically never actually finished. He only put it out on streaming services and was constantly tinkering with it, was changing the track listing and taking songs out and putting songs in and, you know, offering different cuts of them. And it was basically this perpetually unfinished project, but you'd still call it an album, you know. And so I think the definition of what even constitutes an album has really evolved over the course of this year.
Well, Stephen, I want to dive into your list of your top 10 favorite albums from 2016. And number one reveals maybe, I don't know, just guessing a little bit about your love of Wisconsin, too. Tell us about your number one.
Yeah, I mean, I swear to God, it's not because he's from Wisconsin. But I am a huge fan of Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, who has now made three full length albums, all of which I think are very, not only very beautiful and very evocative and very engrossing, but all three are very, very different. His first record, For Emma Forever Ago, came out about a decade ago, and it's just this whisper of kind of these acoustic recordings. These kind of bare bones acoustic recordings that were, recorded in a Wisconsin cabin, very famously. And then his second record a few years later is these very grandiose, kind of almost orchestrally arranged, just big booming songs. And this record, which is called 22 a Million, numeral 22, comma, a million, is kind of meets somewhere in the middle. It's this kind of strange, warped, I describe it as like a scuffed jewel, where these songs are so beautiful and so delicate, but they have this abrasive quality to them, this almost warped quality to them. And it has this kind of, it feels almost like it's beamed from a distant satellite. And I just love it. And it's another one of these records. A lot of the songs all have like numbers in them. And there's this kind of coded quality even to the way the song titles are presented. There are codes all over the album art. Again, it's an air of mystery. He put so much thought into this record that I'm sure there's stuff in it that only he understands. And I love that about it.
Here's a taste of the track 8 Circle from the new Bon Iver album, 22 a Million.
Thank you.
Stephen, just briefly before we leave Justin Vernon, there had been speculation that he would not keep producing under the band Bon Iver. He still is. This is a new album, and it's a good one, you say, a great one. Do you think this is a band that's going to have legs and keep going, or do you think we just don't know?
God, I really hope so, you know, and I think that feeds into the air of mystery. He had given a bunch of interviews in the last couple of years, and he'd certainly made plenty of other music. He's somebody who loves to work with other artists, not only as a performer, but as a producer. You know, he'd made these great records under the name Volcano Choir with members of a band from Milwaukee called Collections of Colonies of Bees that I think were gorgeous. I think it was specifically the Bon Iver name that he wasn't sure he still wanted to work with. I think there was so much pressure. You know, he won a couple of Grammy Awards, and it was kind of like he was becoming very mainstream in a way that I don't know that he was comfortable with. So the fact that he went back and still worked under the Bon Iver name and with the kind of Bon Iver aesthetic was so exciting to me as such a huge fan. This is his first Bon Iver record in 5 years. Boy, I hope he keeps doing it forever.
Talking to Stephen Thompson from NPR Music, looking at his top 10 albums of the year. Let's move on now and give a listen to another one. Beyonce, her album Lemonade. Here's the track Sorry. So talk about this as not a collection of singles, but as an album, Stephen.
Yeah, Lemonade is definitely an album. And, you know, obviously when it came out, it was so heavily discussed in the context of how it fits into Beyoncé's personal life and Beyoncé's marriage. And as such, it is a very powerful record, and it's a very personal record. And yet, it is also making larger, grander statements about black womanhood in 2016 and coined all these phrases that entered the lexicon over the course of the year, you know, hot sauce in my bag and all these different phrases that people picked up over time. And I think what sometimes gets lost in that discussion, all of which is a very worthwhile discussion, is how diverse it is in sound. You have a song like Sorry, which is just this very springy, kind of elastic, R&B pop single that's so incredibly catchy and, you know, has multiple different hooks in it. But there's also a song on this record that's like a rock song. There's a song on this record that's a country song. There are anthems, there are ballads, and she's working in so many different styles within pop music and doing it in such a creative way.
And Stephen, you draw attention to a song that you call your best American girl. You say it's the best song of the year. And I love it. I've never heard it before. And this is an artist that I'm not familiar with, but this one I was listening to, it just went, just blew me away. I love this song.
She's great. It's a singer named Mitski, and this is her second record. It's called Puberty 2, with the numeral 2, and it's all these songs about identity and finding your place in the world and in your relationships. And this particular song, it starts with all these kind of whispery details about, you know, this intimate relationship, and she's addressing her partner or her lover as you know, her big spoon. You know, she's the little spoon and he's the big spoon, and it's kind of sweet and romantic. And then as the song fans out and builds into these bigger and bigger choruses, she's touching on like sort of socially and culturally how she fits into his life and with his family and in society. And the song is called Your Best American Girl, and it is far and away my favorite song of the year.
All right, here's a listen. Mitski, Your Best American Girl. I love how the distorted guitar comes in there. And that's well into the song at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got that, you know, quiet, loud quality that so many, you know, big rock songs have.
And that Stephen Thompson loves.
That I love, absolutely. She's just a tremendous talent and a tremendous live performer. That song is just made to, you know, I'd play it in the car, and every, like, 15 to 25 seconds, I would lean over and just turn it up a little louder, a little louder, a little louder.
We'll continue our conversation with Stephen Thompson from NPR Music about his top album picks of 2016.
And we'd love to hear from you on this, too, at 800-642-1234. Is there an album from the year that really stood out for you that you've been listening to, notching up on the radio, a singer maybe, or a group whose new album you were eagerly awaiting, maybe it delivered this year? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation with NPR Stephen Thompson about his picks for the best albums of 2016.
Checking out one of them right now, and you can share your favorite albums, songs new to you, albums new to you at 800-642-1234. And do you listen to albums, or do you just collect individual songs? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And there's an abundance of talent going on in this song here. This is, I don't know, maybe it's a new super group that's come out in 2016. Stephen, what can you tell us about Case Lang Veers?
Yeah, you said the word yourself. It's a super group. It's Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Veers. And when I found out that this album was about to exist, I remember immediately thinking, oh, my, that's too good to be true. There's absolutely no way that it can possibly be the sum of those parts. If any one of those women were putting out an album, I would be excited about it. And so to have them all put it out at once, and then the songwriting is enormously consistent, and what I love about it is it really does manage to capture the songwriting voices and the singing voices of all three of those performers. You know, they are all front women. They are all band leaders. They are all, you know, people who, you know, who just have such a strong presence, and yet they're able to share center stage in a really interesting way and kind of take turns in the spotlight, but then have the others back them up in beautiful ways. And so I just love this record. I love every song on this record. It's not necessarily like a massively groundbreaking record. Doesn't necessarily fit into the category of something that's incredibly mysterious. It's just sturdy songcraft with these wonderful voices and these wonderful singers that I always enjoy.
Case Lang Veers there. We'll go to our callers now. Thatcher is with us in La Crosse. Thatcher, hi.
Hi. I was just calling to talk about John Bellion. He's a newer artist that came out, I think, in 2015, but he's really come up this year. And it's John Bellion. It's J-O-N-B-E-L-L-I-O-N.
Okay, and what kind of music, Thatcher? What kind of genre or what have you?
He's kind of like electronic pop, if you could say. He's very electronic, but he's very poppy at the same time, and so kind of multi-genre, I guess.
Thatcher, thanks a lot for the suggestion, John Bellion. Stephen, not one I know on your radar.
I just wrote down the name John Bellion.
It's always fun. You get ones to check out, too.
So I'll be checking it out. That sounds great.
Thanks a lot, Thatcher. Let's take another call from Gerhard in Milwaukee. Gerhard, hi.
Hello. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks. What did you want to share?
I was wondering comments about Leonard Cohen's latest album, since it just came out in October, and then he passed away in November 8th.
Right, Leonard Cohen. Thank you, Gerhard. Another heavy hitter there that we lost this year, Stephen. What did you think about that last album?
Yeah, it's a natural companion piece in a way to the David Bowie record Black Star, where it was clearly made and released with the understanding that Leonard Cohen's own mortality was imminent. And I think Leonard Cohen has been singing about variations on his own mortality for many, many years now. But this record, I think, really did manage to hit harder. It's called You Want It Darker, and it lives up to its title. It is a very gloomy but very beautiful record about death and life and redemption. It's very powerful, but you know, it's not an easy listen. it is a terrific record though, and a great suggestion.
And you've mentioned David Bowie's newest last album a couple times. Here's a listen to the track from Black Star, I Can't Give Everything Away.
I know something's very wrong.
not as difficult listening as it sounds like the Leonard Cohen was, but still, I mean, a farewell in a lot of ways.
And still, once this came out, a record I had to put aside for a while because I was just so sad.
Too soon. Yeah.
And I think that just the title of that song, I Can't Give Everything Away, as the final track on David Bowie's final record, is just a really powerful statement in and of itself. I mean, just think about the double meaning and, like, I can't give everything away. Like, you're putting so much of yourself out into the world as a singer and a songwriter, but you want to retain a certain element of mystery at the same time. And so it's, in a way, it's kind of a mantra for what I was talking about how much of 2016's best music retained that air of mystery.
And so you've got one country album on the list from an artist called Maren Morris. So what do we need to know about her?
Oh, she's just terrific. Just a really, just a young, sparkling singer-songwriter. There's a bunch of great country music. It was an embarrassment of riches to try to pin down a top 10 list. There were great records by, oh my gosh, right off the top, Miranda Lambert had a great record. Jeez, I'm of course off the top of my head, but this Maren Morris record is just full of these big kind of hit and hit worthy anthems. She kind of broke through late last year with a song called My Church, which was like a big country hit that I just loved and spun over and over again. She had a big summer hit with Rich, which was just one of my favorite country songs of the year. Just a very charismatic and fun singer-songwriter who manages to weave in, you know, like sounds almost of like classic rock into her country music. This might have been, yeah, a collection of singles as opposed to like a completely thematically sound album, but it was a collection of very, very good singles.
Here's one of the songs Stephen just mentioned, Rich by Maren Morris.
If I had a dollar every time that I swore you off, and a 20 every time that I picked up when you called, and a crisp new Benjamin for when you hear.
I mentioned this last time we talked to you, and I think you mentioned Steve Miller when you referred the song to your piece, because I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, and so on. That's a pretty similar feel there.
It has that kind of running through it.
There's the chorus right now.
And it's so funny, I was blanking a second ago on great country records in 2016. Sturgill Simpson, that's a great record. Brandi Clark, Aubrey Sellers. I could keep on naming them.
And Maren Morris, she had some great lines in her songs. There's one about, if I had a dime for every time something, something, I'd be sitting on a big pile of dimes.
On a big old pile of dimes.
A big old pile of dimes.
Yeah, it's wordplay, and sometimes it's also just direct, straight to the gut, very plain spoken songwriting. She's wonderful. I really, really like her a lot and can't wait to hear what she does next.
Let's listen at least one more. How about, so you loved Beyonce, but she's not the only member of that family on your list. Solange. Beyonce's often best known as her sister, but no, you say she's got a great album all on her own.
Oh, absolutely. It was an embarrassment of Knowles family riches in 2016. This Solange record is called A Seat at the Table, and it's a much... naturally, you're going to compare it to Beyonce's record, and you're going to naturally compare her to Beyonce, but she is very, very much her own songwriter and her own voice. And this record is this kind of slow-burning, very subtle, much quieter rumination on identity in 2016 and representation in 2016. You know, with a lot of like of these. Ordinarily, I don't necessarily like it when albums are filled with interludes, but this record uses its interludes very wisely. A lot of spoken word samples and conversation mixed in with these you know, very like just like luminous and smart and interesting songs, many of which are ballads. I love this record a lot.
Here's the song "Cranes in the Sky" by Solange from the album "A Seat at the Table."
To put one in the air, I tried to dance it away, I tried to change it with my hair.
And Stephen, I want to end with something seasonal. I happened to see this quote from you on Twitter today. My heart is an icy clump of greasy gutter slush, but the song by Low melted it just enough for me to feel again. Just briefly, Stephen, what do you like about the song we're going to play by Low?
I mean, I feel like that tweet just said it all. Low's a band from Duluth. They've been around for, you know, 20 plus years. One of my favorite bands. They play very slow, very quiet, kind of methodical sounding music. And their specialty to me, they have so much great music, but their Christmas music is just glorious. They have an album from 1999 called Christmas that everyone should own and play around the holidays. This particular song is gorgeous. It's called Some Hearts at Christmas Time.
We'll leave it there with you now, Stephen. Thanks a lot, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.
Stephen Thompson, editor and reviewer for NPR Music and All Songs Considered. His full list linked on the Central Time Facebook page.